The Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Healthy Desert, Healthy You podcast. This is a podcast presented by the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation. I am your host, Will Dean. I am Director of Communications and Marketing for the District and Foundation. And we started this podcast this year, 2025, because we were really encouraged by conversations we had around environmental health in September 2024 during our first Healthy Desert, Healthy You Environmental Health Summit. And we really wanted to continue those conversations to explore the issues that are affecting our health and possible solutions and what you, everyday residents, can do to help improve the environment and our health in this community. I'm joined today by Dr. Daniel Polk, who is a research and evaluation associate with HARC Incorporated. And HARC is the Health Assessment and Research for Communities organization that's been around for about 20 years. So, Dr. Polk, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I really appreciate having you here. If you could talk a little bit about what HARC does and your role at HARC.
Sure. So HARC is a nonprofit organization based in Palm Desert here in the Coachella Valley. We provide research services for the greater good. We're well known for doing the Coachella Valley Community Health Survey. We conduct the survey every 3 years. We do it on both the adult and the child population in the Coachella Valley. And we ask questions on the survey on a range of issues, focusing on the social determinants of health. So we ask people about disease diagnosis, about food security, mental health, a range of things. Once we collect this data, we offer it for free to the public. You can go on our website, harcdata.org, download our executive report, use the data for whatever purposes may be. Often people use it for grant funding to get more money for programs, to expand programs, things of that sort. So we provide research services for the benefit of the community.
And your role there?
I am a researcher, so my day-to-day is basically looking at numbers and writing words. We write reports, we collect survey data, we also conduct interviews and focus groups. Sometimes that means being behind a computer, sometimes it means being out in the community and talking with people. But basically, I collect information and share that information with others.
Awesome. And I wanted to speak with you specifically because I know that a part of your job involves environmental justice. And if you could explain to our listeners what that is.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a social scientist. I'm a cultural anthropologist by training. And although I have done research on various topics relating to community health, my special interest is environmental justice, environmental health broadly. And the term environmental justice it's a pretty simple concept to understand. Basically, there's environmental pollution out there in the world, like air pollution. And often what we see is that pollution affects some communities more than others. Typically, it's poorer communities or less empowered communities that are exposed to more air pollution. If intuitive, those communities that have less influence on policy may not be able to push a factory out of their neighborhood or may not be able to prevent a warehouse from being built next to their home, etc. So it's the idea that we have to arrange our policies so that we're accounting for this disproportionate impact of environmental pollution on less empowered communities, if that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. So here at the Healthcare District, we are working all the time to make sure everyone in the Valley has access to healthcare. So that really speaks to the disparities in privilege and access. So it's very much needed here. If you could talk about the regions of the Valley and how they may be impacted differently by our environmental challenges.
Sure. So the Coachella Valley has a lot of people, almost 500,000. It's largely divided into two halves, right? There's the Eastern Coachella Valley and the Western Coachella Valley. In the Eastern Coachella Valley, there's fewer people. It's largely rural and it's dominated by the agriculture industry. Whereas in the Western Coachella Valley, we have most of our cities, Palm Springs and Palm Desert, Indian Wells, for example, and it's largely an urban environment. You have country clubs, golf courses, hotels, casinos even. It's a more developed area. So we have paved streets, we have potable water, things that are not always found in the eastern Coachella Valley. Though that's basically the main geographic divide that I think we think of when we are trying to understand the valley.
Right. And the Eastern Valley definitely is much more agricultural, and there's the salt and sea there. So could you talk about the impact of those two factors in terms of air quality?
Sure. Yeah, I really think that focusing on agriculture is key to understanding the environmental disparities between the west and east ends of the valley. I think there's a tendency to view agriculture as an industry that's somehow inherently different than other industries like tourism, hospitality, healthcare. Really, agriculture is an industrial pursuit like any other. What distinguishes it is that it uses a lot of land, it uses a lot of water, and the labor force is very disempowered. Maybe about half of farm workers are undocumented. Many of them come from indigenous backgrounds, so they come from ethnic groups that are historically disempowered. That's the case in the Coachella Valley. There's a large Purépecha, Mexican indigenous community. Of course, many folks are undocumented. So what I'm trying to say is that we see agriculture as being an exception, an industry that we almost expect to have lower labor standards. We almost expect it to be separate from our urban community. But it's an industry that we should see as upholding the highest standards that we would have anywhere else. If hospitality workers were living in conditions where they didn't have paved roads or portable water, we would see that as being unacceptable. Likewise, we should see it as unacceptable among agricultural workers.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people may not realize that the agricultural industry in the valley is a huge economic asset to us. It's very important that the workers there have access to health and that we're very mindful of the environmental challenges there. But these challenges are felt across the valley, especially since Tropical Storm Hillary. Could you talk a little bit about how the environment really impacts the entire community?
For sure. Yeah, even though we may think of the Eastern Valley, and indeed it is, more affected by air pollution, for example, dust that comes off of the dried lake bed of the Salton Sea, you mentioned earlier the Salton Sea. Nonetheless, those impacts can affect the whole valley. When we have dust storms that originate in the east and blow into the western side of the valley, when we have hydrogen sulfide gas, this rotten egg odor that is emitted from the Salton Sea at times,
right,
that wafts through the whole valley. There was even a storm event, I think it was in 2011, where you had this huge tropical storm that brought a lot of humidity and strong winds, and the rotten egg smell from the Salton Sea drifted as far as Los Angeles County. Air crosses borders. It crosses county borders, city borders, international borders. So we're all affected. We're all in the same air basin. And so everyone in the valley needs to be concerned about this issue of air quality.
So going back to the Salton Sea and its impact, and when we think about air quality, I think most people think about asthma, and that very much is an issue here in the valley. Could you talk a little bit about who's most impacted?
For sure. So yeah, asthma is of great concern. It's, as we mentioned, as we indicated, the eastern side of the valley is closer to the Salton Sea, which is a source of air pollution, both dust that's being emitted from the dried lake bed, as well as what's called sea spray. My understanding is that recent research has shown that there's microorganisms in these water droplets that get emitted from the surface of the sea. There's also microorganisms in the dust that comes from the lake bed. And so there's evidence that this dust from the Salton Sea, the sea spray from the Salton Sea, is very likely causing higher asthma rates for those individuals who live near the sea. It's especially a concern for children because, of course, if a child develops asthma when they're young, then it's a lifelong condition, potentially. So our community health survey shows that the childhood asthma rate for the whole valley is about 10.6%. That's children from across the valley. Another survey that we did in collaboration with UC Riverside, their Center for Health Disparities Research, showed that among communities close to the Salton Sea, childhood asthma rates are higher. Those in the eastern Coachella Valley, the childhood asthma rate is 13.8%, so higher than the valley-wide rate. And on the other side of the Salton Sea in Imperial County, in communities near the sea in northern Imperial County, the childhood asthma rate is even higher, 36.2%. And I should note that these are reports of asthma-like symptoms rather than asthma diagnoses. So it's common for children to have symptoms, difficulty breathing, for example, but the parent may not have a diagnosis. So part of the issue is trying to identify these children with symptoms so they can get a diagnosis and get better treatment.
When you said 8% was it?
Yeah, 10.6% valley-wide.
I thought that's significant. And then to find out that the children who live closest are
13.8%.
Yeah,
in
here.
In the East Valley.
But in Imperial, it's even higher.
It's even higher, right.
That's
so
incredible.
We sampled communities in northern Imperial County, closer to the Salton Sea, and 36.2% of the surveyed children reported having asthma symptoms.
And even though it's Imperial County, as you said, there are no borders in the air. So we experience that as well. What can our listeners do? How do you become an environmental justice advocate? What are some things that people should be aware of and should be doing, do you think?
That's a great question and overwhelming one too. There's so much that can be done. First thing that comes to mind is climate change. I feel like it's always important to bring up that issue when talking about environmental justice. Today we're talking about local issues, but nonetheless, as our climate changes, it will affect us locally.
Right.
The fact that there's less water flowing into the Salton Sea and that more lake bed is being exposed to the air is tied to reduction in water in the Colorado River, which is only expected to get worse in the coming decades. So I think it's important to be aware of these global issues and what can be done about them. More concretely, there are many great organizations that one can get involved with. Alianza Coachella Valley, which is based in the East Valley, does a lot of excellent environmental justice work. There's other conservation-minded organizations like Friends of the Desert Mountain or the Oswet Land Trust. Doing a simple Google search or looking on social media can bring up local organizations where you can get involved with. Go to their events, make friends, and see how you can get involved.
So awareness is key.
Yes.
And there are a couple of ways, concrete ways you can do that. One is also to visit the HARC website.
Sure.
And also, if you are invited to participate in the community survey, absolutely to do that.
Yes, indeed. Please do.
Yes. And we are having our second annual Environmental Health Summit in September 2025. We'll be putting more information about that on our website, which is dhcd.org. So please check that out. We want as many people involved in that to learn about the environmental challenges in the valley and what you can do to improve your health and your family's health, but also collectively as a community, what we can do. I want to thank you for your time today. It's been a real pleasure. You've shared some really great information. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Please remember to subscribe to Healthy Desert, Healthy You. We are available on any platform where you enjoy your podcasts. Thanks so much. Till next time, this is Will Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.org. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music.